Welcome to Yes, Mother. Tonight, this is a podcast about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
From now on, we're going to have a little less ritual and a little more fun around here.
Some things I can just smell. It's like a sixth sense.
Yeah, actually, that would be one of the five.
Yeah. You just say, hey, I got a thing. You maybe have a thing. Maybe we can have a thing.
Well, thank you, sir.
We really need weapons for this.
I just like them.
They make me feel more manly.
Look, Buffy, you may be hot stuff when it comes to demonology or whatever, but when it comes to dating, I'm the slayer. But I don't want to go with you. I like the man with the musket.
Fine.
Do you have a musket?
Okay, tonight is the first installment of Sue Watches Buffy. I'm Em.
And I'm Sue.
And welcome. Welcome back, or welcome to our podcast. I'm really excited to be doing this. You have no idea. Yes, you do.
Yes.
Basically, if you've never really listened to us before, I'm Emily from, I'm on the McKinley cast, and I'm also on Yes, Mother, where we review Bates Motel. And Sue is my sister.
Yeah.
And
I am just from Yes, Mother.
Yes. That's... Sue is of Yes, Mother fame. We, just through the 6 months we've been doing this, Buffy's come up a lot, and I love it, and Sue has never seen it.
We were coming up with ideas of what to do during the break between season 2 and 3 of Bates Motel, and it just kind of, with a little urging from some of our listeners of Bates Motel, we're doing a Buffy, I'm a newbie, never seen it, I'm brand new to it, so...
Yep, something a little different from our podcast that might sets us apart from any other Buffy podcast I've listened to is we do have a newbie we're walking through, but we are not going episode by episode. I am letting Sue binge watch.
Yes.
I think a little is lost when we make the newbie stop and talk about the episode they did and then wait a week or more and have her watch another one and then talk about it. With Buffy, I just don't think this is the best way to enjoy it. And so this is a kind of an experiment, we could call it, where we are letting the newbie set her own pace, and we're not going to gauge her reaction for every single episode. I mean, we'll talk about it in, you know, the podcast when we do start talking about it, but
right.
She's going to be able to watch groups, and I'm telling her when to stop. And then we'll record, and then she'll get another group of episodes.
Yes, Emily's given me little assignments of groups of episodes to watch at a time.
And we've already reviewed season 1. We're going to go over it a little bit tonight, just to start out, in case you don't feel like finding season 1, where we talked about it on what we've been watching, which is episode 18, if you do want to find it. So we'll just talk a little bit about season 1. We didn't talk about it that long anyway, because season 1 is kind of crap.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it for too long, and you might have to coach me through season 1, because that was, I don't know, a month or two ago.
Yeah, and I didn't rewatch it for this, so my likes and dislikes might be a little vague.
Okay, so... If I remember, well, I did listen to, I re-listened to episode 18 of Yes, Mother, where I did talk about me watching season 1, and I had questions about why do the vampires go all caveman?
Yes, we did discuss that, and I cannot answer her.
I mentioned the three episodes I didn't like the most, and it was the Wolfpack one, the iRobot Eugene, and the Praying Mantis one.
Yeah, Sue did well. If you're a Buffy enthusiast, you will approve of her disapprovals.
I passed the Buffy test.
Yes, you did.
But I did kind of look at the titles and descriptions of the rest of it, because I didn't really talk about, I mean, the ones I mentioned that I kind of liked was like the Invisible Girl one and the Puppet Show one.
Right.
But I also really, I liked the finale. What was that one called?
Prophecy Girl.
Prophecy Girl. I thought that was, I liked that one.
Yeah,
And I
Prophecy
also
Girl is
liked,
good.
I liked the witch one.
Yeah, I like the witch one too.
Yeah, so, and I didn't mention either of those in that one episode.
Okay.
So, yeah, I did like the witch one. I did like Prophecy Girl. And then the rest, I guess I'm just kind of neutral on. I guess I didn't love them and I didn't hate them either. So I'm just kind of like, eh. Like the one where like her date, don't kill my date, or
I'll never kill a boy on the first date
yeah, I
with
remember
Owen.
thinking that one was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. So
Did you do a five likes and five dislikes for season one?
for season one, I don't think I did.
Well, I did, and we can just talk about mine.
Okay, yeah,
And you've
sorry.
said your likes and dislikes, I guess.
Right.
Okay, my likes. One, Xander and Willow. I love the intro to those two, and I also loved that Buffy, she comes to school as kind of the, it's kind of revealed that she was probably the Cordelia of her high school,
Right.
and she's changed enough that she doesn't want anything to do with Cordelia. She gravitates towards Xander and Willow,
That's right. That's right. I
who
remember
are kind
that.
of the outcasts.
Because it seems like Cordelia was trying to be her friend.
Yeah, they had that little conversation and she passed Cordelia's test, but she's
Oh,
like,
yeah.
no. And she says something really funny like, oh yeah, she was nice to me, to Willow. Okay, so yeah, I like Xander and Willow.
I'll just say right here, season one, I liked Willow, but Xander kind of bugged me.
Okay. Have you changed your opinion?
Maybe.
Well, okay, we'll get to that. Oh, and when Sue and I do likes and dislikes, it can be, and we're going to do top five likes and top five dislikes, and they can be as broad as we want. They can be a character, they can be an actor, they can be a line. And so if you want to participate in likes and dislikes, we encourage that. They can be just likes and dislikes. There's no rules, really.
Right. Right. It can be a pair of shoes that Buffy's wearing. It can
Yes,
be,
it could
yes,
be a
anything you
scene.
want. And your dislikes can be giraffe pants.
Those are my likes. In just, I don't know, the giraffe hats crack me up. Okay, my second like is the witch mom stuck in the trophy case. I think that is so dark.
Oh, yeah.
Creep.
Yes.
Just
I
the
like
last
that.
scene, she's like stuck there forever, like looking around.
That's right. That was creepy.
Yeah. And then another like is Giles. I like Giles a lot, and I don't know. I just like the little stuff shirt, British guy that you can tell. I don't know, like Jenny Calendar's flirting with him, and I don't know. I liked Giles right away.
I like Giles. Yeah, I like Giles.
Good. And then another like, number four is Nightmares. I like that episode. I like how it's, you get to know the characters that you don't know very well, quite a bit through what they nightmares about, what they have nightmares about.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that episode. That's right. I like that one too. That's the one with the tarantulas.
Yeah.
Coming out of the book. Yeah.
Yeah, and Xander's scared of the clown guy, and Willow has to sing opera and she doesn't know the part. And it's constructed really interesting because Buffy, they're talking about it. Like, Buffy and Willow and Xander are trying to figure out what's going on, and they haven't figured it out yet. But Cordelia goes away. Cordelia calls Buffy to, like, a history test. And so Buffy's on her own in her own nightmare. And so, and Buffy Xander and Willow kind of figure it out together. Mm-hmm. No one really figures it out or talks. And so I thought it was constructed brilliantly. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I'm having a really hard time pinning down and trying to really have an intelligent conversation about this. But
right,
they did it really well.
Sorry, that's my
We can hear
Bunny's drinking water.
Bunny drinking. Bunny's a dog, if you don't know.
Bunny's my dog. I'm in the office with him because my husband's in bed, and he's drinking water. So sorry.
He'll do it for a while. Oh, he stopped?
Looks like he's done.
Yeah, anyway, if you go back and watch it, notice how brilliantly they put this episode together and kept information, and not in an annoying way, kept information from each character in a really brilliant manner. It was constructed brilliantly, in my opinion. And my fifth like is I liked Principal Flutie.
You know what? I like him. Oh, wait.
He's the first one. He's the one that gets eaten by the pack.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
I like his first conversation with Buffy and how he like tears up her record. Records. And then he catches a glimpse that she set fire to the gym.
And so he's like taping them back together. That's right.
And as a little fun fact, Stephen Tobolowsky played Principal Flutie in the first pilot that never aired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so sad that didn't go on to be Principal Flutie, but they had a different Willow and a different Principal Flutie. I've never been able to see it, but it's something.
That would have been fun to see some Steffi Doors in the...
Steffi Doors. Yes. All right, my dislikes. The pack, in general.
Ugh, yeah.
Dislike it. I don't know. I think that Xander laughing, it's just cheesy, and the zookeeper, and just not a fan. No. iRobot You Jane is my second dislike. Are you jacked in? It's so stupid. It's awful. My third dislike is season one in general. I'm just not a huge fan. It's okay. It's my least favorite season. So if I'm going to do a dislike on my dislike list of a season, it's going to be season one. My fourth is Darla's whininess is uncharacteristic. And you don't know this because you will meet her later in different ways. And she comes back, but she's a different character than she is in season one before she dies. And she was just annoying, like whiny and weird. And to have been through everything and know Darla better like I do, and to see her in season one is just terrible. I think her character wasn't fleshed out yet.
Right.
And they flesh her out, and then all of a sudden the season one Darla doesn't fit very well.
Yeah, I didn't like her. Because I remember in the scene where she dies, the master saying, oh, she was my favorite one, or something, and I was like, really?
Mm-hmm. I think
I will say that I think in season one she had a really creepy moment when she, like, Buffy's mom is hearing noises.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, checks the door and walks away, and then all of a sudden Darla's face is in the window. That freaked me out.
And that was that the episode Angel where she bites her mom in the kitchen?
I
like that episode. And I liked that it was...
That was an okay episode, yeah. But that really creeped me out because I hate windows at night.
That's right. From another vampire movie.
Salem's Lot, yes. Danny, let me in.
Scarred Susie for life.
You even had to call me Susie because it scarred me when I was like 7.
So I revert back to Susie.
When people call me Susie.
That's funny.
I couldn't have my bed in a certain way in my room until I was like 30 because of that movie. Yep, I hate windows.
All right, and my fifth and final dislike of season one is the vampires, except the master. And you get, you have probably gotten now, at the point you were at in season two, that the vampires start changing a little bit. Well, we can get into it, but Spike's different.
One thing I have noticed, because I remember the thought, I might have it written down somewhere in my notes, is they almost seem like zombie-like, like just stupid.
They're so like the ritualistic and the, oh, it's the harvest. And
there's that, but they just don't, I don't know. I guess I'm just used to the vampire movies and whatnot where vampires are quite articulate and kind of elegant and well-spoken because they've been alive for so long. They're just smart. And these just seem like...
Cavemen.
Cavemen. You know, they're just like, you know, I don't know. I will say that Spike was quite a refresher for me. That's for sure.
Yeah, once you've gone through the series and you see the season one vampires, the master was different. He was a little funny. He kind of had a way about him.
I really did enjoy the master. That's one thing I did mention on that earlier episode when we talked about season one, is I really, really liked the master quite a bit.
Yeah, but the rest, his, you know, his henchmen or whatever you want to call them, are just so annoying.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Pretty lame.
I agree. And I'm glad to be through season one because I would say all in all, I don't know. If I had been watching it like as Buffy was airing, I don't know if I would have watched it. I mean, obviously I didn't, but you know.
Yeah.
That show was playing in a time in my life where I just was not watching any TV at all. I was too busy with work and college.
Yeah, I had just left high school, so I think it started my senior year, maybe? I don't remember. But yeah, it played through my college years and then my marriage and stuff. I just wasn't on my radar, I guess.
Yeah, I just
my group of friends in college weren't watching it.
I know my friend Jill watched it. But that's the only person I can think of. That was, gosh, what, almost like 20 years ago?
Yeah.
So.
90s.
Yeah.
Late 90s, early 2000s, I believe.
Like 96, I think, is what I saw. Is that the first year?
That sounds right. Yeah, so I was graduated, but just barely.
Yeah, so. Anywho, so yeah, season one, some good stuff, but mostly bad stuff, I would say that way.
You might, after you've seen the whole series, going back to it, you might appreciate it a little more. I don't know. I did.
Maybe.
It's fun to go back and see them all young and naive and stuff. There's that always.
There's that. Yeah, that's always kind of fun to see. Yeah. Like, you know, after you see so much character development, to see what they were like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you remember their friend Jesse? It was like Xander's best friend.
Eric Balfour, yes, I like him.
I guess Joss Whedon put him in the credits in the first episode because he wanted to surprise everybody that when this guy turns into a vampire and gets dusted.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a big thing to him, I think.
I don't know,
confusing people.
I did kind of like that they did that because he's a pretty good actor. I've seen him in a few things, and I like him.
What have you seen him in? Because he's familiar to me.
He was... what's the sister's name in 6 Feet Under?
Oh, he's the guy that dated Claire? What was
Claire.
Her?
Yeah. Claire? He was her boyfriend. And then he's in... Remember... Gosh, it might be our very first episode when we were talking a little bit about what you were watching. And I had seen a couple seasons or so of that show Haven.
Oh, barely.
He's on that. And I really like him on that.
Huh.
So.
And it seems did you see him in the credits and you're like, oh. And then you were like, oh.
Yeah, because I saw his name and I was like, oh, sweet, I like him. And then, yeah, and then he was gone after, what, one or two episodes?
Yeah.
Or just one? Yeah.
I think the first one's like a double episode or something.
I think it is a to be continued, yeah. And I think he dies in the second one. So.
All right, so do you want to, like... discuss each episode just one by one kind of quickly, and then we'll do our top fives and bottom fives.
That's kind of what I was thinking. What do we do about feedback? Do you want to do that now?
Oh, yeah, let's do feedback.
Okay. Because we have three different emails.
Okay.
We call them comment cards when we're covering Bates Motel. We're going to try and come up with something different for Buffy, but we haven't thought of it yet.
Yeah, and yeah.
Something high school related, like, I don't know. What was the first thing I said? Permission slips.
Yeah, because comic cars are because it's a hotel.
It's a hotel, yes.
Is Harold's the first? No, is Harold's the first?
Harold's is the first.
Okay. Do you want to start?
Sure. Harold says, just in case you don't know, the first assignment that Emily gave me was to watch season 2, episodes 1 through 6. So I watched up through Halloween. And Harold says, recently I had sent in some feedback and I said I had recently rewatched some season 2 episodes, including Schoolheart and Halloween, from these first 6 episodes. Those are very good episodes of television. Spike and Drusilla are great villains and they don't play by the rules. I love that Spike couldn't wait for St. Vigius Day, and he took care of the annoying one with great dispatch. Halloween is a fun episode, and I like Ethan Rain, who seems to enjoy creating mischief for no reason but for his own amusement. Yeah. The other 4 episodes are not as strong, but there are some good moments. Willow and Xander's near kiss before Buffy returns. The smashing of the Master's bones. Xander showing Ampata his unique way of eating a Twinkie, and Willow in her Eskimo outfit. The good news is there will be more like Schoolheart coming up. So,
yep.
Yeah, I did like... I thought the near kiss was kind of cute, and then I liked how later on at the Bronze, Willow puts ice cream on her nose.
That is so painful.
Hoping to recreate the moment.
It's so sad. This is a very painful high school moment.
Yep. And then, do you want to read April's?
Yeah. Thanks, Harold.
Yep, thanks, Harold. As always.
Okay. Hi, ladies. I've really enjoyed your Bates Motel podcast, and you guys are awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, of course, when you guys mentioned you're going to do a review of Buffy, I got excited. I'm kind of a newbie like Sue because I have only got to season 2, episode 16 on Netflix. So far, I like the show more and more with each episode. There's definitely been some twists and turns in the story I did not see coming, and I like it. Anyway, looking forward to hearing your comments on the show, April. So I'm so excited. We've got someone, I don't know how, she could be in season 4 by now. But I'm excited that someone else is kind of watching Buffy right now and kind of in the same spot. So, April, yeah. Awesome. Thank you for writing in, and we hope to hear from you more.
Yeah, and I got a personal email from my sister-in-law, Kristen. We were talking about something else, but she mentioned that she thinks she's going to start watching Buffy along with us, too.
Oh, cool.
Because she hadn't seen it before. And she mentioned she was a Firefly fan while it aired.
Oh, was she?
Yep. I did not know that. So
was she really mad?
She was an angry fan. She was very disappointed, yes. But, yeah, she's never watched Buffy and kind of always wanted to, so she's thinking of playing along.
Good.
So, yeah. So, Chris, if you do, send us some emails.
Yeah. Let us know what you're thinking.
Yep. And, all right. And then our last one is from Carrie. And she says, hello, Sue M. and fellow Buffy fans. Since I can't be the woman in room number 9 on this show, I guess I'll just be Carrie the Buffy fan.
You know, I don't see why not. Norman can't, like, open up a hotel on the Hellmouth. That sounds like them.
The Hellmouth Hotel?
It sounds like something Norma would do. And then she'd have, like, some of those really bad days all the time.
The Hellmouth Inn.
The Hellmouth Inn. Carrie, you're in room number 1. Unless you want room number 9 in that one. New spreadsheet.
New spreadsheet coming up. She says season 2 does have its bad episodes, a lot of them. But to their credit, this is only the second season, and it was a teen vampire show, so they were still trying to gain interest. She's got a point there.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
And with Joss Whedon's wonderful writing, it was becoming more popular. Of these episodes, Whedon only wrote when she was bad and school hard, which makes sense because those two aren't bad, all that bad. Yep. I didn't realize those were the only two. Mm-hmm. And then she goes episode by episode. So she says, when she was bad, as season openers go, it was good. Buffy's sexy dance with Xander showed a new side of her. Poor Xander. It was pretty cruel to do that to him. Mm-hmm. I like seeing Buffy's dad in this episode. And yes, that actor is Almanzo from Little House on the Prairie. What? It is?
Sue's husband, Cam, is a quite the Little House on the Prairie fan.
We both are. He watches it without me sometimes. Oh my gosh. I have to go back and watch that. I did not know that was Almanzo.
I don't even know who Almanzo is. I watched that show when I was a kid and never went back.
He's like the dark, curly-haired boy that they adopted.
Oh.
Yeah. And like one of my first little TV crushes.
Oh.
But all of my first little TV crushes came from Little House. Almanzo, Jason Bateman played a kid on that for a few episodes. And, of course, Michael Landon.
Of course.
And once in a while, Nils.
Nils?
Nils Olsen. <Who's that? laughs> He ran the mercantile and he had that awful wife. Anyway.
You had a crush on that guy?
I was kidding.
Oh. Are they Nellie's parents?
Yes.
Okay.
Harriet and Nils.
Right. All right.
Okay, she says, we here in the Midwest loved that show. So did we in Utah. So do we in Utah, I guess I should say.
Yes. We still like it in Utah. Well, I don't, but I might if I watched it, I suppose.
Channel 7 at 4 o'clock. Music was great in this episode. SIBO motto was awesome. I read an interesting fact about the title of this episode. It's mentioned in a nursery rhyme from Wadsworth Longfellow. There was a little girl who had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. And when she was good, she was very, very good. But when she was bad, she was horrid. Creepy, eh? Yes.
Yes, that is from a Longfellow poem. It's often misquoted. It's actually, she was very good indeed. It's often misquoted to very, very good, though.
Interesting. Oh, interesting.
But yeah, that is where the title came from.
Creepy.
Mm-hmm. And Buffy was quite horrid in that episode.
Ugh, yeah. She says her favorite line is, Willow, why is Buffy acting like such a B-I-T-C-H? Xander, a bitka? And Carrie gives that episode 5 out of 10. And then, some assembly required. Not so great episode. They needed a much better looking Daryl. There's no way Cordelia would have thought he was cute. The only thing I liked about it was the relationship between Chris and Daryl. It seemed genuine. And I don't have a favorite line, just a blah episode, 2 out of 10. School Hard. It was a decent episode. We finally see Spike. He's in my top 5 characters of all 7 seasons. He and Drusilla are a perfect little Sid and Nancy couple. And of course we meet Miss Edith the doll, which is way creepy. Yeah, we'll talk about those dolls. I guess this is supposed to be a take on Die Hard with Spike and Drew as the terrorists taking over the building, the school, and holding the hero's family hostage, and Buffy crawling and hiding in the ceiling, same as Bruce Willis did in the movie. Yeah. Two favorite lines. Spike, I fed off a flower person and spent the next 6 hours watching my hand move. And Spike calling the anointed one the annoying one. Mm-hmm. She gives that one 5 out of 10. Ink and Mummy Girl, everyone hates this episode. Yes, the story is bad, and the plot has more holes than a slice of Swiss cheese, but there are parts that I liked. We meet Oz, who is so adorable on this show, and we meet Jonathan, too, not so adorable, but funny. I don't remember who Jonathan is.
He's the one that Empata almost kisses. Jonathan is an extra, and all I'll say is you'll see him again from time to time. You'll know who he is.
The one that she almost kisses, like, in that little room or something?
Yeah.
And she's turning.
And he's like, you're Xander's girl.
Oh, okay. Wow, I didn't know he even had a name.
Oh, he does. And it's Jonathan.
Well, that's been confirmed by Carrie, too, so I believe you. Xander had great lines in this episode, and I love his laugh. It's goofy and so cute. And it was so sad to see Willow once again watching Xander fall for someone else. Oz's band is really a band called 4 Star Mary, and they are pretty good. Favorite line, Xander. That's great. You're not a praying mantis, are you? She gives it 2 out of 10. Reptile Boy. Not a totally bad episode, just annoying. The first scene where the frat guys are chasing the girl took forever. I never noticed that before. Story was weak, but I liked the snake monster, Machida. Favorite line, Willow. Some guy is attacking Buffy with a sword. Also, there's a really big snake. Cordelia. Oh, Buffy, it's like we're sisters with really different hair. She gives that one 4 out of 10. And then Halloween, better episode, still had some weak spots. We meet Ethan Rain, while he's over the top, still a good villain. Buffy's accent comes and goes a lot. It got pretty annoying, but everyone else did a good enough job. Favorite line, Xander. Hey, Will, that's a fine boo you got there. She gives it 4 out of 10. And then she says, can't wait to hear what Sue thought of these episodes. I bet she got spreadsheets filled out and ready. Laugh out loud. Take care of Carrie. Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie, as always.
There may or may not be spreadsheets.
All right, so She was bad, I took the liberty of going to a website that puts all the episodes in order of good to bad. It was called, like, Buffy Phenomenon or something. I liked that one because it divided them up between seasons. You didn't have to go, like, so there's 144 episodes. You didn't have to, like, cruise through them all every time because I could just find season 2. So we're going with that one. And to give you a little clue, I just looked these up for you. So out of 144 episodes, Teacher's Pet ranks 141, and iRobot Eugene is 143.
141, Teacher's Pet, is that the Praying Mantis one?
Yes.
Okay.
I should have looked up what the Wolf Pack was, whatever that one's called, the pack. But just so you know, you've gotten rid of, you've watched two of the 140s. Already down, and you hated them.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. When She Was Bad scores number 68 out of 144. And this one was written and directed by Joss. I'm not going to say everyone that wrote and directed every episode, but when it is Joss that wrote or directed, I will mention it.
That's a good idea. Okay.
Okay. So, go ahead, Sue.
All right. So, the little notes I jotted down while watching When She Was Bad. My first note is her crocheted pillowcases look really uncomfortable.
I've always thought that. She sleeps on, like, duvet doilies. Cover. Yes, that you're supposed to use those as decoration, and then when you sleep, you take them off your bed. And use regular pillowcases underneath. Yes. You've got regular pillows you sleep on underneath those, and those are for decoration during the day.
Yes, I just couldn't get over. I was like, I just can't imagine like the imprints on her face when she wakes up. And stuff.
That's so funny because I totally, absolutely, 100% have been there.
That's awesome.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've had every same thought you've had.
My second note is, was that Sean Lennon?
And we discussed this on Facebook. Yes, it was.
Yes. Sean Lennon is in Sidomato. Is that what it's called? Sidomato?
Something like that.
Yeah, so.
They're an interesting group. I kind of like those guys.
Yeah, and it gave me a warm feeling when I saw Sean, so yay.
She was like, oh, maybe I'll, hey, score a point.
Yeah. Yeah, I should have focused more on him, but that's okay.
I watched it. You get a couple. He's in there a few times.
Yeah.
Couple camera shots.
Yeah. The dancing was with Buffy and Xander just went on way too long, and I really didn't enjoy it at all.
Her doing that was a horrid thing to do to Xander, Willow, and Angel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All in all, I just didn't like Buffy at all in this episode, and I understand that she went through a really traumatic experience in the finale, but I don't know. She really bothered me in this episode. I really kind of found this really kind of underwhelming for a season premiere. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of boring. I just didn't really like When She Was Bad. I think Buffy and Angel suck. I don't like them. But I do kind of like Cordelia. And my question is, am I supposed to? Do most people like her? Or am I in the minority?
Oh, no. People like Cordelia a lot.
Okay, because I do like her. And she, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not. So she's the one that's in Veronica Mars.
Oh, is she a regular?
She's got a pretty big role in the second season for sure. And I think she's a little bit in the first one.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? I found out that Rob's an Amazon Prime member. I'm like, what?
He's like, I have been for years.
So cool. I'm like, well, I gotta get your codes, you know, because we both have our own Amazon accounts,
right? Oh, that's, yeah, like,
I need to get your code and watch stuff.
They've got some good stuff, and yeah. Veronica Mars is on there. I know you will like it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, that's really all I have to say about that episode. I just was really underwhelmed. I will have to say I did like the ending when she smashed up the master's bones.
Yeah. Did it? I don't, my experience watching that for the first time is I was with Willow. I thought something supernatural was going on with her.
Yeah, I kind of had that idea too. I was kind of like, is she now kind of like half vampire or something, you know?
Yeah, well, when she died and she came back all weird, she's like, I feel great, you know? I thought something was up with her.
Right, right. And, you know, if they would have gone that way, I would have liked it a lot more. So, to me, I mean, I guess it was just, what, like PTSD that she had then?
Yeah, which, well, we'll get into it later, but it's one of my likes, actually.
Oh.
I like how it was actually, it wasn't supernaturalness, it was PTSD, and it was just something that an actual girl that went through what she went through would have happened to her. Yeah, I'm not down on this episode like you were.
Okay.
I think it's interesting. I she's terrible. She is horrid. She's got PTSD, and she obviously had a lot of trouble over the summer getting over it, and then she comes and she's just a bitch to everybody, and then she kind of gets over it, and I love the end. I didn't put this as one of my fives, but I love how she's all scared to see Xander and Willow because of what a jerk she was. And Xander's like, well, we could grind our enemies into talcum powder with a sledgehammer, but gosh, we did that last night.
That was my only quote I had written down for this one.
Oh, are we doing quotes?
I don't know. I saw Carrie mention it on Facebook, so I didn't do them for all the episodes, but when one stood out, I wrote it down.
I stole your quote.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
No, I did kind of like the end, how Xander and Willow were like, hey, you're our friend, you know?
Yeah, you.
Sometimes
they excused her.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I mean, there was some cheesy music that played along with it, but
yeah,
you know, sans the cheesy music, it was kind of a cute little scene where she.
It was. I liked that scene. I agree, but yeah. All in all, I wasn't a big fan, and I think I just put it as. I think mostly because it was the season opener. I just really.
You were expecting a lot.
Just expecting a little bit more, especially after the season finale of the season one, you know?
Yeah.
You'll
get some good openers in the future. It's still season one.
Yeah.
I mean, season two.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not, you know, it doesn't make me hate the series. I was just like, meh.
Oh, and I one thing I loved was the vampires doing their, like, little, rituals. They're all going for the dark, and Buffy like stakes one of them in the for the, and then she's just dust, and you're like, thank you. It's actually a really funny moment.
I don't think I really remember that.
they're all in a circle for the dark, for the dark,
that.
For the. It's funny, just a little funny thing.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe I just wanted more Sean Lennon in it. The Sean Lennon factor was low.
Yes. But it's the only one you'll get any Sean Lennon factor, so live it up now.
So on to Some Assembly Required, then?
Yes, Some Assembly Required is rated number 136 out of 144.
That seems about right.
Yes, it does.
I'm a little bit confused about him and Cordelia. So were they dating or not? Was she just in love with him? Is that...
Okay, here's what I can glean from that situation. And, you know, this episode would have been a lot better if we would have, like, met this guy and they were dating, like, in season one or something. But,
right.
You know, that's just a pipe dream. But wouldn't that have made this episode,
it would have made it,
like, more impactful?
Yeah, and it would have made a little more sense in this aspect because he didn't seem to recognize her picture, like, when the Eric friend, is that his name?
Yeah.
Chris, when you know, shows like a photo of Willow and one of Buffy and then one of Cordelia, he just kind of points to Cordelia.
Like that.
As if he didn't even know her.
Yeah, but then later he's like, says he's sorry.
Yeah.
Here's what I think. I think they dated maybe once and she was really into him and he blew her off. That's
okay,
that's just my opinion. If anyone knows more than I do, it's not well fleshed out. It's full of plot holes and it's not well fleshed out. So
yeah, because I was just confused.
Your questions are valid.
I had the idea at first that they had dated because someone said that he had broken her heart, or it broke her heart when he died or something. So I was like, okay, so he was her
well
boyfriend.
Cordelia did, and she was trying to get attention, but she is going to be the kind of person that's like, oh, we were best friends, you know.
Okay,
someone's died,
okay.
Now they were best friends, but they I'm sure they at least went out once, maybe
okay.
even more. And I know that he was supposed to be like the number one jock of the state. I don't know. You know, big deal.
Right. And she was the big cheerleader. So.
Yeah, so she was into him, but he was probably a jerk.
Which is weird, because Carrie's right. He's not that good looking, and Cordelia is beautiful. It's like, why wouldn't he be into her? Doesn't make sense. I don't know.
Just
I'll
let it die.
And don't resurrect it. No. I don't understand why his face has so many stitches in it. I mean, I guess he died from like a rock climbing incident. But still, that was a lot of stitches. And like, what was the deal with, is it Chris? Is that his brother?
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal with his friend? Why was he so enthusiastic and into this? Is he just a weirdo?
That's my guess. I don't know if he had like shines that they were going to make him a girl next, or he just liked killing. Maybe he was a psychopath.
Just kind of a psychopath.
It's another just not well done aspect.
Yeah,
of
it just
episode.
He just seemed very into it and excited about the whole thing. So I was just like, okay, maybe he's just a weirdo. And if that's what it is, that's okay.
I think that's what it is.
The thing I kind of liked about it was just that it was kind of a retelling of Frankenstein.
Uh-huh.
And I love Frankenstein. I love all the Universal monsters, but Frankenstein's my favorite.
Mm.
So I always enjoy something having to do with Frankenstein.
Yeah, I think my favorite scene was Daryl watching the game under the bleachers. It's
mm-hmm.
very poignant. He's so sad his chin quivers.
Yeah, exactly. I liked that scene a lot.
Yeah.
And just his loneliness, you know, he's mm-hmm. like, you brought me back to life. Now you need to provide me with someone I can spend this life with, you know?
Right.
And that just makes perfect sense, of course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What another thing I don't quite understand is, so if they were able to bring Daryl's whole body back to life, why did they have to assemble together a female? Why?
I don't know. I'm confused there, except that they keep saying the perfect girl, almost like weird, like it was a combination of Young Frankenstein and Weird Science, because they keep talking about the perfect girl, but it's like Cordelia would have been perfect, you know. How do you don't get much more perfect than her,
right? And the three girls that they assembled together were all cute cheerleaders.
Unless the accident was so bad that they had to like reassemble because certain parts
were
ruined,
mangled or something,
right? But wouldn't it have been easier to just kill Cordelia and then stitch her up a few times and bring her back?
You would think so,
because apparently they needed to be stitched up to make him feel okay. It's like a motorcycle posse,
motorcycle gang.
It's like she couldn't just be reanimated, she had to be like him more. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't answer these questions.
Yeah, because my thing is, did I miss something? Was this explained and I just missed it, or?
No, the only thing I can think of is Eric kept talking about the perfect girl. Like, they had to, like, they built the perfect girl. Except that doesn't make a lot of sense when you're talking about these perfect cheerleader high school girls.
Right. So.
Whatever.
Okay. And then I like the idea of Giles and Miss Callender together. Mm. And I kind of hope that maybe that goes somewhere, because I like her. She seems like a pretty cool, pretty strong woman. And I think she would be good for Giles, because I like Giles, but there is something about him that just kind of bugs me. I know he'll win me over.
Yeah.
I think I need to know a little bit more about him and maybe his background. But right now, especially when he's around Miss Callender, he's just got that Hugh Grant, is that his name? Just kind of that bumbling, charming, I don't know.
And that bugs you?
Bugs. Bugs a lot. So, but we'll see. We'll see. I think she can get him over that. Mm. So I'm hoping something kind of goes further with those two.
Yep.
And
I like them too a lot.
But that's really all I have to say about that episode.
Good. I'm happy to leave that one behind.
Okay.
Schoolhard is rated number 35.
And oh, wow.
Joss has a writing credit. I didn't see a directing credit. But he has a writing credit. But yes, this is a high-scored episode. And I don't know if it would be as high if that was the last you ever saw of Spike. But, you know, as you know, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know he's a fan favorite. Well, I imagine you do. At this point in your life.
I'm your sister.
And being my sister. Spoiler alert, Emily likes Spike.
If Emily got a tattoo, it wouldn't be her daughter's names around her ankle. It'd be Spike. Okay, so Schoolhard, my first note is, man, that principal's an a-hole. And it just, you know, but I like him.
Oh, yes.
He's such a jerk.
So I guess he's in some Star Trek. Do you know who he is? Is it a Star Trek you've seen? Wait, have you, do you ever, you're not a Star Trek person?
Honestly, the only Star Treks I've seen are the original with Captain Kirk. I never did see like Star Trek Generations or anything, so I don't know who he is.
All right, well, if anyone wants to pipe in with that information, I'm sure we'd like to hear it.
He looks like someone I've seen before on something. Like, he's just one of those character actors where I've seen him before.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe as a who knows what, you know?
Right. So this is where, yeah, he's got Buffy and Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah,
and he's just an a-hole. He's totally setting him up to fail. Who puts the two kids that are going to get expelled, probably, in charge of parent-teacher conference?
Right. Well, it's kind of said implicitly that he hates children, and why does he have this job? And
right.
He's kind of like, well, someone has to look after him. You know, like.
Is this the episode where he and Giles have that conversation?
No, that's when she was bad. Like, when they first get back to school.
Oh, okay. I did think that was a pretty funny conversation, actually.
Yeah. Oh, and Giles is doing all the things to Miss Callender that while Principal Slider is
he's like,
talking
they're making
about
ice at each other.
Right. Bumbling. <It's> and yeah. Being all Hugh Grant-like.
Being that Hugh Grant bumbling charmer.
Which I don't find anything wrong with that, but apparently Sue does.
I just don't find it charming. and I put this on Facebook too, that Bunny that's my dog. Buffy would not be able to wear that tank top at Utah High School.
Oh my, yeah.
Because I happened to watch this episode on the day that high school that photoshopped sleeves and stuff on that yearbook.
Oh boy, Utah likes to embarrass Sue and I sometimes.
Yay. my next note is, that must be Spike. and I can't wait to hear what Drusilla's story is. I am fascinated by this woman.
I thought you'd like Drew. When I first said her name to you, you were like, Drusilla, huh? And I'm like, you're going to like her.
I know. I think my text back was like, Drusilla, oh dear.
That's right. And I think I said, you'll get a kick out of her, I promise.
Yep. So, I like Drusilla quite a bit. And then I have down, I never thought I'd say this, but give me Edward and Bella any day over Buffy and Angel.
Oh, I'm with ya.
And I know you've told me before how they're pretty much universally disliked as a couple. Is that correct? It's not just you? Like, or do people...
Universal is really generous. Basically, there's people that, you know, like them as much as some people like Edward and Bella. They just think that they are the best couple ever. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people. But, like, hair stands up on the back of my neck sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, give me Edward and Bella every day, and you can quote me on that. I agree with you 100%.
Because, you know, I'm watching it, and I'm like, have I just been tainted by Emily talking to me about Buffy and Angel? And then I'm like, no.
No, there's no way you would have liked
this
them.
This is my own opinion.
I would have never said anything.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way. I know you too well.
Because I'm trying not to let that happen. I'm trying not to, like, you know, I know how much you love Spike. And so I'm like, I can't immediately like Spike. I have to, but I kind of did immediately like Spike. So, you know, I'm trying not to let, like, what you've told me before
right.
influence my own decisions, you know, sure. opinions, whatnot. But I really don't like Buffy and Angel together at all.
You wouldn't have without me.
Okay. I didn't think so.
There's plenty of people in my camp, but there's plenty of people
that do
absolutely
like...
melt over them. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Well, they're not done.
My next note is creepy dolls. Why do they have gags around their mouths? Oh my gosh. And I hate dolls. Dolls are one of the creepiest things to me and have been since I was a kid. I never played with them. Anytime my mom bought me a doll, it had to be a doll that you could put a battery in and it would do something. Like, I right. never owned dolls that I just, like, played la-la-la with, you know? It had to be, like, a baby alive or a baby that away, and I still didn't really like them. I never had my own Barbie. I never liked Barbies. Dolls creep me out, and Drusilla's dolls are some of the creepiest. And so I'm kind of glad, because I know I'm going to get creeped out, and I like to get creeped out. So... I'm excited about the dolls. And then when you, was it a text or on Facebook?
I think it was Facebook.
You're like, Miss Edith, is that her name? Yes. You're like, she's been very naughty. And I'm like, stop it.
No, I said she's going to be very naughty. Because you said that Miss Edith was going to be in your room when you went to bed. And I'm like, ooh, Miss Edith is going to be naughty.
It seriously gives me like goosebumps to even think about what they're going to do. And I can't wait. Because I know I'll have nightmares.
Well, to be clear, the Miss Edith being naughty was at your house. Oh, what? That's not disappointing. When I said Miss Edith is going to be very naughty, I meant because you said Miss Edith was going to be in your room. So.
Oh, I said I'm going to have nightmares over these dolls. Oh, so Miss Edith doesn't do anything naughty?
I didn't say that, but. When I was talking to you, I meant.
I see.
At your house.
I gotcha.
I wasn't referring to we just wait for more. Dang it.
That freaks me out.
Like, just wait? Okay.
My next little note is something that only you're going to understand. And it's Spike does Nivo face.
I know he does. I actually almost wrote that down and then I'm like. yeah, he does. In vamp, only in vamp makeup, though.
Right. And Nivo face is just a certain thing that people do with their lips that my friend Teresa came up with in like second grade.
Yes. And who's the most famous one? Richard Dawson?
She got it from Nivo? Richard. Yeah, she got it from imitating Richard Dawson saying survey says. On Family Feud. And yeah, Teresa and I became friends in second, maybe third grade. And that's when Nivo, she was already doing Nivo when I met her. And that's what she named it. And that's what we call it. And Spike does it.
That's so funny because I thought so too, but I didn't know if you would have noticed.
I'll pick out Nivo anywhere. I really liked Buffy's mom in this episode. I liked her ending up kind of saving the day and saying what she does to Buffy about, you know, I don't care what the teachers say, you know, I've raised a girl who can take care of herself and is strong and cares about other people. I like that a lot. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, because before that, she's just been kind of guilt-tripping Buffy. Joyce doesn't come off as the greatest mom often.
Right, and she hadn't up to this point.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know it's just that thing where Buffy's got this secret that she can't tell her mom, you know, because there's even a line in one of the earlier episodes. She's like, oh, wait till you have a job. And Buffy's like, I have a job. You know, but I really liked the little talk that she had and how she hit Spike with that like fireman axe thing. So it just makes me wonder, and I know that you're not going to tell me, but so does Buffy's mom at this point, does she realize Buffy's a Slayer? Or is she going to find out she's a Slayer? And are there other Slayers in the family of Buffy's?
That's all good questions. The only one I will answer is that she does not know that Buffy is the Slayer. She has no idea. No.
Okay. I didn't think so. But I couldn't tell what she'd seen and what she hadn't seen through that door, you know?
You will find the residents of Sunnydale are able to block out a lot.
Blame it on PCP.
Yes, gangs on PCP.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder how Buffy became the chosen one and if that's like a... like maybe Buffy's grandmother was a Slayer or something. Just kind of thoughts going on in my head.
Okay.
Overall, I really liked the episode. I like Spike and Drusilla. I like the Buffy and Mom stuff. And I think it was hilarious that Willow and Cordelia were still in the janitor's closet.
Oh, that's all over. Right. She tells Cordy to ask God for some aspirin, and she's like, and please send, ah. Hey.
That's right.
It's a funny little moment.
Yeah, yeah. And I do like, Harold mentioned it too, but I did think it was pretty funny that Spike couldn't wait for that Saint whatever day.
Saint Vigis.
Vigis. And I liked it when Spike and Angel met and like Xander's in the middle of them. And so, and then Spike says that Angel sired him, so I'm assuming by sired that means that Angel's the one that made him into a vampire.
Well, or that'll become clear later.
That Spike was already a vampire, like a new vampire, and Angel was like his guru, like vampire teacher or something.
Well, he does call him as Yoda.
I did catch that. Yes.
Okay, in Joss Whedon land, in his vampire universe, a sire can be just any bloodline that you were been through. It's hard to explain. He didn't necessarily bite him, but maybe he's the grandfather, bite wise, of who bit Spike. Rob's walking in like, oh man.
You just said a hatful.
Emily's talking about biting Lauren Sires. He's gonna go find some divorce papers.
He's got a 1-800 lawyer. Hello, lawyer. Give me a divorce.
Yeah, I won't answer your question, but when you are called a sire in that universe, there's a bloodline thing that it could be anyone in your bloodline, and that is the biting bloodline, not like human grandfather or something. It's like who bit who bit who.
Right, okay.
That's as vague
as... It's something I will eventually understand?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll just chalk it up to I'll understand it later, because I'm still not quite following you, but I'll
just
trust myself that I'll understand it.
What you got there was your first little glimpse that there's a connection. They knew each other a long time ago. They hadn't seen each other. No, never mind.
Right.
Does he mention the last time he saw them?
I think somehow I got the impression, I don't know if it's in this episode or not, but it's been a lot, like 80 years or something, or 60 years? Am I thinking of something else? Maybe I'm thinking.
No, that sounds about right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all you need to know right now.
Okay. Gotcha. So, yeah, that's kind of all I have on that one. I liked it.
Okay, what I wanted to mention, well, of course, hooray for Spike. I love, I'll get into that later, but, Carrie mentioned Sid and Nancy, and they were modeled from the writers after Sid and Nancy.
Oh, are they? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They just kind of wanted that kind of, they were their inspiration.
Okay, cool. Good to know. I'll keep that in mind.
Okay.
On to Inca Mummy Girl. Which, in parentheses, I put stink a dummy hurl. Just to be as juvenile as I can.
Inca Mummy Girl is ranked 137.
So just above, what was the one that was one? Oh, Assembly Required, Some Assembly Required. Or just worse.
This one, 136. Yes, this is one Buffy episode worse.
Yeah. The one thing that made me happy was seeing Seth Green's name in the credits at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I am a big Seth Green fan. I really like him. Let's see. I think I'm really hoping that Xander, he just needs to give up on this Buffy thing. I really hope it doesn't continue very long about his pining after Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just so obviously it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And I really hope that they don't continue with this throughout the whole series because he needs to get over himself. And what made me mad is that he's all pissed off that some male foreign exchange student's going to be staying with Buffy. But then when it's a girl, he like falls in love with her.
Oh yeah, it's the worst.
It's just like, oh, I really didn't like Xander in this episode. I thought Willow was adorable in the Eskimo outfit. And I thought the mummy girl had really great hair.
She did have nice hair.
It's very nice hair. And that's about it. I just thought it was dumb. I didn't like it. I didn't like Xander in it. I didn't like the whole story. I don't know. I just, meh.
Yeah, yeah. It's bad. It is not my favorite at all. But I do love Willow in the Eskimo outfit. I love Oz scene. You know, they have the discussion, is any girl, he and the bandmate guy that's dating Cordelia, you know, he's calling Oz too picky, and at the end of the episode, he sees some girl in an Eskimo outfit, and he's like,
who's that? Yeah. I like it how, yeah, Cordelia's boyfriend is thinking that he's looking at a different girl, mm-hmm. and then you find out that he's looking at Willow. I like that. So I'm kind of hoping something happens there.
Yes. I have a stray observation. And I don't know if I'm alone in the Buffy world or what, but I wonder why I like it when Buffy pouts. Or is that the best word for it? Whines? It goes against, like, everything you know about me to like. But mm-hmm. there's like a line where she's like, I've got plans.
Hey, look at us. We came up with a plan. A good plan.
What? We'll meet there tonight, huh?
No, bad plan. I have other plans. Dance plans. Cancel plans.
I like it. And then there's a time in How to Kill a Boy on the First Date when she calls Owen. She's like describing him. She's like, he's so Owen-y. And she has this little whine in her voice, and it's one of those surprises for me that I just love it, that everything about that I should hate.
Right.
But it gets me, and I laugh, and I think it's hilarious.
No, those little lines of hers make me laugh, too.
Okay. Oh, there is a little exchange in When She Was Bad, where Angel's like, I can't help but think I've done something wrong and it bothers me more than I'd like. It's the worst. It's something that, like, I could see Bill saying on True Blood.
Yes.
Because he's like a southern gentleman. And right. I could see him getting away with it, but Angel can't.
Right.
In my mind.
I gotcha.
He can't pull it off. He cannot pull that kind of line off and that kind of way he spoke. And I'm going to chalk it up to David Boreanaz is still kind of getting his footing.
So far, David, is that how you say it, Boreanaz?
Uh-huh.
His acting skills are not great.
Very fair.
I'll just leave it to that.
I am going to guess you will like him better in Angel and later on, but especially in Angel.
It just, and I'll just say it now because it's one of my notes later on. At this point, from what I've seen up to, you know, Halloween
mm-hmm.
in the whole Buffy universe, it just blows my mind that Angel gets his own show at this point. Because he just really doesn't seem interesting hardly at all to me. I mean, I guess the idea of a vampire having a soul, there should be some interest, but so far, it just really blows my mind that, and it's, how many seasons is there of Angel? Like five?
Mm-hmm. All I can tell you right now is,
can't wrap my brain around that they can do five seasons on this character. Unless they go back in time, unless it's a back in time and we're seeing like young Angel, maybe that would hold my interest at this point.
What do you know about Angel right now?
Zero. I know, all I know is that some gypsy put a curse on him.
Okay.
And that he has a soul. Is that, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I know.
Has he said anything else? Anything that you can remember?
Not that I can remember, no. Like, well, okay. I know the master said, I know that at one time he was like one of the most fierce vampires on the earth.
Okay. All right.
So I know that about him, I guess.
I just can't remember what's been said yet. And I don't want to say anything. The best I can tell you is, don't worry about it right now.
Okay.
Don't be like, oh man, I'm going to hate this, or
I'm not letting,
what are you guys thinking? Okay. Don't worry about it right now.
Okay. Cause I do trust, I know that I'm only like one season and six episodes in, and that characters do get fleshed out, I'm sure. So I'm not making a final judgment on him at this point.
Okay.
I'm just saying at this point, the thought that there's a spinoff of five seasons on this guy is just like, really? If someone
totally
said it was
fair.
About, if someone said it was about Spike, who I've only seen in one episode so far, it would make more sense to me than Angel. So that's just where
fair,
I'm at right
and...
now. But my mind is open.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure it is. I know you well enough.
It could shift completely. So, and I'm open to that. I'm not going to be stubborn and be like, no, I don't like him. Don't make me like him. Cause,
I bet you'd pull for that.
You know.
Because you're kind of in this now. You might as well like it.
Exactly.
Speaking of in this and liking or not liking, let's go on to Reptile Boy.
Hated it.
Ranked number 135. So I disagree with Carrie a little bit. This is absolutely my worst of at least the stretch that we watched just now, these six episodes. It's at the bottom. It's worse than Inkamomi Girl for me. And
oh, yeah.
I think it's awful. I think
it's a terrible episode. There was nothing good about it in my mind.
Let's see if I came up with anything good about
it. Just don't quite understand what they were trying to achieve with this reptile. Was it just an appeasing thing?
Yeah, it seems like one of those every 5 years?
Yeah.
Apparently, this fraternity and their fathers and grandfathers before them have been appeasing this reptile boy every 5 years with not virgins, just beautiful women. Sacrifices, and it gives them monetary gain and prosperity and good business. It helps their businesses and makes them successful.
So why did the one have like those scaly looking scars on him then?
Don't know. Just part of the ritual or something. Part of what they have to do to bring the snake. I don't know.
It just... didn't
adding
seem...
to the creepy factor is what they were trying to do, if you ask me.
Yeah, it just didn't seem that well thought out. The whole fraternity boy club skull and bones kind of crap just... I am just so not interested in anyway.
Yeah, and it was kind of a cautionary tale for high schoolers about drinking. Buffy
There's that.
Lied and then drank, and then this happened.
Yeah. The best part was just the very end with Cordelia when they're all done and the, you know, the reptile's been killed or whatever, and she's like, I just hate you guys.
Before Buffy came around, nothing like this happened to her.
So that was like the one redeeming thing about that episode was Cordelia saying that at the end. That made me laugh out loud.
One of my biggest nitpicky annoyances about this episode involves Cordelia. I hate at the beginning where she is acting so uncharacteristically stupid with her magazine advice and that laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know her very well, but she's acting extremely uncharacteristically stupid. She's not like that. And it bugs me that she is in this episode, just as a plot point.
Yeah, no, I caught that too, even though I don't know her that well.
Maybe she's not quite fleshed out yet.
Right, but
it seems like she's more fleshed out than that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I hated that. And the laugh that she did was horrible.
Right. Cordelia would know that's stupid.
Right.
She didn't in this episode, and I hate that.
Yeah, I already know that she seems smarter than that.
Yeah.
So, because she doesn't seem stupid at all to me.
No, I think even in season one where she's talking about the Merchant of Venice or something, and she has a good conversation about it with the teacher, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, just, nope. Reptile boy, thumbs down.
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah, I think it's awful. Oh, and I get so mad about the Buffy Angel stuff in this one where... It's all about having coffee, and he kind of is like, we can't be together. And then at the end, he comes, and she gives him the brush off.
Yes.
I hate that kind of play. It bugs me so bad. Why did she give him the brush?
I don't know. The mind games.
Yes,
I hate people who play mind games. I have no patience for it when it comes to boyfriends or girlfriends. Or family, or anything. I do not pander to people who do that. It's nope.
Yes, we do not do that in our family.
No.
When we see it, it's annoying.
Tell me how it is, or no. Yeah.
Or you've lost your chance.
You've lost it, yep. So, and I think that's one of the things that does bug me the most, is just this constant, I don't know, I don't remember what episode it is, but Buffy's supposed to meet Angel at the Bronze, and she's late because she had to slay a vampire, and he's sitting at the table with Cordelia, and she
yeah,
just
that's Halloween. Oh, it's that's like, next one.
Oh, is that the? It's like, get over yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you know, Cordelia's trying to make a play for Angel, and Buffy lets her get into her head. I think is basically what's going on.
Yeah. And I guess they are teenage girls. I've got to put that into perspective.
Yes, and it was important for the plot for Buffy to want to be more like the kind of girl that she thinks Angel wants, which is like a woman in the 1700s.
True.
Because that's what outfit she picks out. So I think it was kind of just a plot point.
All right.
I have one redeeming one I liked on Reptile Boy. When Xander, at the end, when he starts kicking and kind of getting back at the fraternity guys and starts beating them up, and he says, that's for the last 16 and a half years.
Yeah.
He got a little redemption for his whole life.
You know, I forgot to mention a couple quotes on School Hard.
Oh, okay.
One of them is Xander saying, and while I'm whittling, I'll sing a jaunty tune.
Oh, when you gotta prepare steaks.
Yeah. And then when Spike and Cordelia are together and you can hear the guys chanting upstairs, and he goes, I'll go up and get chanty with the fellas.
I like it when he's like, something about using weapons. He's like, I like using weapons. They make me feel all manly.
I just like chanty with the fellas.
That is so Spike.
Okay, so on to Halloween. Unless you've got more to say about Reptile Boy.
I do not. Okay. Let's never speak of it again, shall we?
Agreed.
Okay, Halloween ranked number 30.
Oh, wow.
It's a high ranker.
Is that the highest ranking episode I've seen so far then?
That's a good question.
I think there was a 36 or something.
Unless something in season one. I guess I can look.
I doubt.
Like, maybe Prophecy Girl is pretty high ranked.
Yeah.
Go on. Start talking about it. I'll look it up.
So I was happy to see Seth Green's name in the credits again.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how Spike was like watching videos of Buffy Slay to like learn her tactics.
Uh-huh.
Like how sports teams will do that. I really just like the whole concept of them becoming what they're dressed for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. I really liked Xander in this episode. I liked Xander as the soldier boy.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, he acts so different when he was soldier boy. You could like, he did some really good body acting.
Mm-hmm.
He really did change. He looked different.
He did. He really seemed to really like encompass that character. I liked it when Willow scared Giles by walking through the wall. I thought Giles' reaction was awesome. But I didn't quite understand what Willow's sexy costume was supposed to be. What was she supposed to be in that? It was just like a midriff with a leather skirt.
I don't think it was really anything except Buffy was saying, come as you aren't. It was just basically, I don't think it was like, oh, you are this person. I may be wrong, but I think it was, she was just sexy Willow. I don't know.
Just, I mean, because I know they had the conversation, you know, Buffy's like, Halloween's the one night that you can be, you know, but there should have at least been a themed or cost.
There should have.
You know what I mean?
It's a missed opportunity just to have had it be something at least. It looks like she bought that ghost costume and then Buffy talked her into it and just found stuff in her closet to just slutter up.
Right. So, yeah, because it's like...
But yeah, it didn't have a... You're right. I've never even considered that, but it did not have a cohesive theme for a Halloween costume.
Mm-mm.
Not okay. Prophecy Girl is ranked number 13. That's amazing.
Wow.
And Angel is ranked number 24. So it is not the highest.
Interesting.
It's the third highest you've seen. And, you know, Prophecy Girl might be a fun one to go back to. I don't know. All of these early season, you will appreciate more once you get the show a little better.
Well, I'm going back when we're done recording. I'm going to watch When She Was Bad so I can see Almanzo.
Oh. Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, as a whole, I liked Halloween. I did like Ethan Rain. Mm-hmm. Is that his name? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he left that little card at the end saying like, see you soon or something. And I hope we do. Because there's definitely some sort of backstory between him and Giles, which I want to know.
Yeah, I put a little list of things I wanted to get your opinion at this point. I'm looking for that list. And that was one of them. Just what do you think of Giles and maybe...
I think I'm
on there.
Yeah, I think... I think there's going to be some surprising reveal about his past. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Because I found it interesting that, what did Ethan call him? Rupert?
Ripper.
Ripper?
His name is Rupert.
Oh, his name is...
He called him Ripper.
Right. So, Ripper. Because at first I thought he said Reaper, and then it was just an English accent, but it was Ripper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So, I'm really... This episode, more than any, made me more curious about Giles and who he is exactly.
He might be different than just the stuffed shirt guy you've come to think he is.
Right, right. Maybe more than just a bumbling Hugh Grant,
right,
charming dude.
Well, he's interested in Jenny Callender, and she is for sure not, you know, she's a techno-pagan. And
right.
She had that... pierced something kinky, and she had gone to Burning Man.
Right, right. That's why I think I like them as a couple.
That was on my list too, of asking your opinion. What do you think about those two?
I want to see more. I hope they do get together, because I do think that she'd be good for him and like bring him out of his shell of mm-hmm. whatever shell he's in, you know, because yeah, because after the Halloween, I did get more interested in him.
Okay.
Like, who exactly is he? What's his background? Why is he a watcher? Is this something that he took on himself? Or is there a person who anointed him the watcher, you know, type thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and speaking of anointed, I do like how, like, it was a little kid that was the anointed one.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a little twist.
Yeah, in Never Kill a Boy on the First Date, you're supposed to think it's that preachy vampire.
Right, right.
It turns out to be the little kid on the bus.
The little kid, yeah.
That was kind of neat.
Yep, I did like that. So, yeah, I like Halloween. My quotes from Halloween is, one of them is, Xander, I'd like you to know I'm taking a lot on faith here.
Yeah.
And Willow, she couldn't have dressed up like Xena.
Which I heard on a podcast that the person that wrote Halloween went on to write for Xena.
Oh, really?
I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, that's funny.
My quote is, Drusilla, do you like my insides? The stuff you cannot see? It's just out of nowhere. She just has a thought. Do you like my insides? It's so funny.
Speaking of Drusilla, it's funny because I remember back when Buffy was on, I was living in that basement apartment across the street from Liberty Park.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a house divided up into three different apartments. There was two upstairs, and then we had the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Jill lived across the park. Like, we almost had the same house numbers. We were like literally straight across the street from each other, but Liberty Park was in between.
Okay.
And one of the couples that lived in the upstairs apartment for me was a girl I worked with and her boyfriend. And mm-hmm. I remember Jill was into Buffy. And when she met Catherine, the girl that lived upstairs, she's like, oh my gosh, you look just like this person on Buffy. And so when I saw Drusilla for the first time, I'm like, that's what Jill was talking about. Because Drusilla looks just like Catherine that lived upstairs. It's so funny.
How funny.
It just brought back that conversation they had, because I didn't know what they were talking about, because Catherine had watched Buffy too. And she's like, I've been told that before. And I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
No, you do. You need to call Jill. No,
I know, no. Jill died last year.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Anyway.
So yeah, I liked Halloween a lot. But
I had a little stray observation at the very end when Buffy's not the, you know, when she's getting the explanation from Angel that he actually hated those women, they were boring. She's wearing sweatpants that are like rolled up really tight at the ankles. It's so bad. It's It's a nice little 90s awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Buffy's wardrobe. I'm like, I know I'm not a fashionista. But some of the choices just kind of crack me up. And I'm like, was that a 90s thing? Or does Buffy just have her own?
I think some I recognize as being very 90s that, you know, because like I said, I was pretty close in age. So I was wearing kind of the same stuff. And some of it is, some just, I don't know if there's a high school in the world, especially in the early 90s, that would allow her to wear some of the stuff she wears.
Yeah, I mean.
But yeah, some of it I think is just Buffy. I don't know.
I mean, they're in Southern California, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it Northern? Is it Southern?
It's Southern, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yes, for sure.
Because they talk about L.A. like it's so far away sometimes, and I'm like,
rrr. Yeah, but actually it seems...
It's really not that far away.
I don't think it is that far away. I would
unless you're in San Francisco. Like, yeah.
Riverside-ish area is kind of where my mind puts it. I think it's...
Okay.
Well, Sunnydale changes a lot to the seasons and things. Sometimes it's giant, sometimes it's tiny. Sometimes it has a university in it, sometimes it has two universities, sometimes it has the ocean.
So it's the Springfield.
Yes.
Of live action TV.
It's pretty much your TV trope town. It's just, it is what it needs to be.
I gotcha. Okay. I just love that about Springfield.
I know.
It's got like everything.
Yes.
So, okay, so do you have anything more to say about Halloween? I just liked the whole concept of it. I thought that was clever. I did like Buffy's costume. I thought that was cool. Mm. And one thing I did appreciate about the show, because when I knew there was going to be a Halloween episode, one of my first thoughts was going to be, oh, great. So they're going to have these fabulous Halloween costumes that most TV shows do.
Right.
You know what I mean? That are just unrealistic. Like
exactly.
People,
yes.
You know, but I kind of appreciated that they didn't go there.
You know what? I don't think they ever do. And there's quite a few Halloween episodes. I don't think they do ever. Like Roseanne. That was one of the things.
Right.
That it was like these just total. Elaborate. There's no way they would have done it.
No. Like the one where Dan is dressed up like Marie Antoinette and Jackie's under his arm.
Yes, exactly.
No way.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, but yeah, they're realistic costumes. I mean, Xander wears, you know, some camo he has at home, and he just buys a toy.
Just buys a gun. Yeah, exactly. So I was kind of relieved, because for some reason that just really bothers me. Mm. When, because I'm a Halloween person, and
right, you demand accuracy.
I do, you know. And you just, sometimes movies or whatever, when they depict Halloween, it's like, that is so unrealistic. People do not put together that fabulous of costumes.
Right.
You know. So I did appreciate that, actually. That was one thing I really liked about it. Yeah. And
I thought Buffy was kind of funny. I mean, her accent, whatever. But her, you know, being scared of the demon was a car. And I like the man with the musket.
Do you have a musket?
I think it all is just funny. I like it.
I did like that.
I liked Buffy's character just because it made me laugh.
I did. And I did like when she comes back as Buffy and she's like, honey, I'm home.
Yeah.
Something.
And yeah. Spike.
Yeah, I did like that too.
And I like Spike. He doesn't know what's going on, but he's like, this is just neat. He had nothing to do with it, but he's like, hey.
Right. And so in the Joss Whedon vampire universe, Halloween's like the only day off the vampires take?
The vampires think it's cliche to be extra scary. So they're like, you know what? They find it cliche, so they stay home.
Okay, so it's not like some oracle thing that's been written millions of years ago. Okay, gotcha. You know, I will have to say that I do appreciate the fact that Joss kind of came up with his own mythology for the vampires.
Well, you know, people give Stephanie Meyer a lot of crap for that. But how can you give someone crap for making up your own rules about vampires when vampires are made up? I've never gotten that.
Right.
I'm not saying I like a sparkly vampire or whatever, but it seems like people give Stephanie Meyer a ton of crap for making up her own rules for her own vampires when it's like everybody does because they're...
It's an open field. It's, you can, right. You know, and...
I think it's great to get creative with your own vampires. Joss did it. I think it's good to do that.
Right, right. I kind of, you know, even though I will, you know, I've got my little hang-ups on, like, the caveman faces and stuff. But in a way, I kind of appreciate it at the same time. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's something very unique. And, okay, you know, that's his choice.
If you really want to do that and put all your extras through all that makeup and stuff, whatever. I don't think it's necessary.
But, you know, it does set his vampires apart from all other vampires I've ever seen. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Good
you
point.
So, I kind of...
What? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I ranked the episodes worst to best.
I'll do that. Maybe I'll do it next time.
So, 6 being the worst. So, number 6 is Reptile Boy. Number 5 is Inca Mummy Girl.
I agree.
I actually put number 4 as When She Was Bad.
Uh-huh. I do not agree with that.
Number 3 is Some Assembly Required. So I actually like Some Assembly Required better than When She Was Bad.
I think you need to rewatch When She Was Bad.
Maybe.
You
well,
must have just disliked you're going to because of the...
Almanzo is in it.
Yes. But he's got a really bad haircut, I think, as Hank... The dad. It's really dopey.
Oh, he doesn't have the luscious curls that he did in Little House.
No, you're going to be really sad.
Oh,
it's really dopey. Anyway, I didn't know he was anybody.
Because that's the thing. I can't even picture her dad. I think he was just, yeah. But I put a little note that the reason I put Some Assembly Required as number 3 is just... It was pretty creepy to me that they were doing that.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, it's a Frankenstein story, and you appreciate
that.
Yes.
And I like creepy, and I like Frankenstein. So that's kind of what, because you can even see, if you looked at my paper, I've got 4 and 3 scratched out 3 times in my final decision. was When She Was Bad, 4. Some Assembly Required, 3. School Hearts, number 2. Halloween, number 1.
Yeah, I would probably just switch Some Assembly Required and When She Was Bad, and you'd probably have my list.
Yeah, and I switched.
Full disclosure, I liked Spike, but it's not until later on in the season that he really got my attention to where I really liked him. Because I was listening to a podcast along with, and Spike came on, and it was a big deal to everybody, and I thought, meh. Yeah, he's all right, but it's later on that in this season that he finally really got my attention.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So I would put Halloween above School Hard just because of that.
I did. I put School Hard as number 2 and Halloween as number 1.
Yeah, that's a pretty close list to what I would have done anyway. Okay.
Yep.
Why don't you read your entire likes list, and then we'll go through my likes.
Okay.
I'll need to do back and forth.
Okay. And mine just aren't necessarily in any order, but...
Yeah, mine aren't either. That's kind of why I didn't want to do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 or something.
Right,
read
right.
Yours.
I've got Willow's ghost costume and her Eskimo costume.
That she's just... like that. And
yep. I just really like Willow. I've got Drusilla and Spike.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Green. I hope we see more of him. I'm looking forward to that. And I've got Miss Callender. I hope she and Giles get together. She seems pretty good for him. And I would say my number one, because I will make my number one, okay, is Xander. He really grew on me this.
Oh. Good.
Because I wasn't sure what to think of him. I didn't really like him all that much in the first season. I didn't dislike him, but I was like, oh, he's going to be a main guy, you know?
Yeah. I think I liked him right away.
Yeah, I really didn't.
First season, he's got his bangs in his hair, and I think he looks so different in the second season with his hair combed up.
He does. He does. Yeah. But yeah, he's really growing on me, and I think they're using him a little bit better so far that I've seen, and giving him better lines. And yeah, I like Xander.
Okay.
He still kind of bugs me here and there, but I'm not worried. I know.
Yeah.
I'll get over that. So.
Okay. My likes. Did you read them all?
Those were my top five. I've got a couple honorable.
Okay. Do your honorables, because I've got fives and then I have a few honorables.
Honorables is the principal, because he's so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy's mom sticking up for her.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of the Halloween episode.
Okay.
And the Inca Mummy girl's hair. That's it. Oh, and one thing I want to say about the Seth Green thing is I'm liking the foreshadowing of like a relationship between him and Rillo. I like how they're doing that.
Yeah, that he sees her walking. She grows somehow being a ghost where she couldn't wear her ghost costume. And so
right,
she tosses it aside.
Well, I like how they bump into each other in like the school hallway and she's wearing the ghost costume.
That's right, yeah.
And then at the very end, he's in his van and she's in her sexy outfit, just kind of feeling confident. And he sees her. I don't know. I like the little foreshadowing there.
Yeah, and I love, he knew it was the same girl that was in the Eskimo outfit, so he's just like, who is that?
Right.
She's interesting.
Yep, I like that.
Okay, I love Giles and Xander, and this is from something from Some Assembly Required. I tried to pick a few things I liked from the episodes I hate. Just because I feel like even the bad episodes of Buffy's have some great moments and some
right,
good
right,
things.
Right.
I love when they're digging the coffin of one of the girls to see if she's in there or not, of one of the accident girls. Mm-hmm. And Giles and Xander are arguing over who's going to open the coffin once they get to it.
Come on. You're closer.
Aesthetic much? Move over.
And Buffy, I don't remember what she calls them, but she just kind of jumps down and opens it with no squirminess. And
right.
I just like that because stereotypically she'd be the girl that's like, ew, you know, like Cordelia or something. But she's just like, oh, get over yourselves. And she jumps down there and just opens the coffin, no fear. I think it says a lot about Buffy and the Buffy you'll come to know.
I do. So far, I really do like her fearlessness. I liked it when she fell in the open grave in that episode.
That's right.
When she's like stomping away from Angel and just boom, yep, falls into the open coffin.
Yeah, she's not the kind of girl that's like, ew, spiders, cobwebs, you know. She's
right.
Not squirmy, and I really like that.
I do too.
I like the entrance of Spike. I guess this was my number one, but I'm not going to say them in order. I love how all of the vampires before that are like ritualistic and boring and stupid, and he comes on and he's just totally different. And I like how he kills the, I like how he calls him the annoying one, and he kills him, and he's like, from now on we're gonna be a little less ritualistic and a little more fun. I just thought, yes.
Yeah, I did like that too.
And I think that now too, I'm like, yes, let's put all that behind us, please.
Right.
Spike's on the scene.
You know, I'm not a fan of the ritual, and I think that's one thing that bugged me so much about Reptile Boy too, is I just not a fan of those ritualistic things.
Yeah, and know. Season one was very, the master stuff, all of that was very, mm-hmm. all about it. And that's all the vampires did. And Spike comes on and you start thinking, okay, this might change things a little. And here's a vampire that's kind of a rebel. And he's very refreshing. And I like that.
Yep.
In our intro to Oz and Inca Mommy Girl, I love, that's one of my likes, is that we get introduced to Oz, which is one of your likes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One of my other ones was one of yours, Giles and Jenny. I love Giles and Jenny. I think they're a great couple. Just everything you said, echo it. I really like them.
Cool.
And another one of your likes, crazy, is the concept of Halloween. I think it's a great, it's almost like a story I would have made up if I was supposed to think of a great concept for a short story. I would think, oh, what if we were all wearing our own costumes and you turned into what you were, you know? It's just a neat idea you'd come up with that sounds fun as a kid or something.
Yeah, it's a great, fun idea. I like it a lot. And I don't think I've ever seen it before. You know, I can't think of anything where that's ever happened before. So,
yep. Yep. And yeah, it just seems like something you'd make up and love the idea of.
Exactly. Yep.
My, what are they called? Honorable mentions. I like, and I've mentioned this already, that the supernaturalness, there's none of it in Buffy's bitchery and when she was bad. Mm-hmm. I like that it was actually a girl going through some crap. My other like, I like the moment in Some Assembly Required when Cordy is strapped to the table blindfolded and she keeps promising them that she won't scream. And when they take it off and she sees Daryl, she just screams her head off.
Yep.
Please just take off the blindfold. I promise I won't scream. I promise.
Cordelia.
We're in an abandoned building.
It's funny in the fact that it wasn't like, I promise I won't scream, and she does. It's like, I promise I won't scream, but what she sees was so terrifying, she just screams so loud.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of that.
Yep.
And that's it.
Cool. Those were good ones. Yeah. Cordelia did make me laugh in that when she was strapped to that table. And I like the way that Xander saved her.
Yeah.
Because I kept thinking in my head, I'm like, just quit trying to get her out of those leather, you know, straps and just push the table. You know? And he finally does.
That's funny. I didn't notice. I didn't watch it closely enough, I don't think.
Well, that fire's going on and he's like fumbling with the straps. That, you
when
know,
she's on a table on wheels.
Yeah. It's like, push the table out of the room.
That's funny. All right, what are your dislikes?
My top dislikes the Reptile Boy episode. It's just a given, I guess.
In the interest of time, that's one of mine too. Just the episode Reptile Boy.
Xander's relentless like interest in Buffy.
Yes.
I hope he gives it up. Angel, and especially Angel and Buffy. And this is where I put the note. At this point, I seriously cannot believe there is a several season series about him.
I will tell you that there will come an episode. Well, I'll let you know that this is where Joss Whedon decided that David Boreanaz could carry his own show.
All right.
There's a moment in time, and I'll tell you when it is when we get there. See if you agree, I guess.
And then the caveman vampire faces are still kind of bugging me.
This will be a dislike in season 7.
We'll just put that in the pantheon.
Yes.
And then I just couldn't think of anything else but Inca Mummy Girl, the episode. I tried not to do just episodes as my five worst, but that'll say something, I guess, is that I kind of had a hard time coming up with my five worst.
Yeah, I did too, and I only came up with five, and Inca Mummy Girl and Reptile, I had the same exact Thanks.
So I had to use two episodes as two of the five when I knew through talking about those episodes, people would know I didn't like them.
Right.
So I think that says something about what I think of the show, that yeah. I had a hard time coming up with the top five of what I didn't like. So
on the flip side of something I liked on this, which was that there was no supernaturalness in Buffy's bitchery, I liked it there. I did not like it in Some Assembly Required. I would have liked, I mean, it seemed to be just science-y, and they even tried to explain it by having Willow be looking through science books and kind of a, it could work. Like a young Frankenstein moment. Right. It's like, don't do that. Have it be like some sort of magic juice or something. Because this is a supernatural show, but they went all science, and I did not like that.
That's a good point. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I thought it could have used...
That could have used a little bit of the supernatural. It would have made a little bit more sense.
Yes, because they did... They tried... I don't like that they tried to just have it make sense in a science point of view, because, come on.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to try on a show like this is... No, don't do that. Just come up with a magic, I don't know, potion, something.
Exactly, right. A ritual.
Yes, a ritual. Just for Sue.
Yep.
And a second dislike is the anointed one. I thought the concept on paper of having a little kid, and in the first season he was small, but he did grow, and they basically had to just have him, if you noticed, he sat down a lot. Because
yeah.
He grew, and he just wasn't the same, and his voice was different, so he didn't talk very much. It didn't work, and it could have. It could have been really creepy and really awesome, but it wasn't.
Yeah, because, you know, I was kind of confused at first.
Yeah, most of the problems there, and he was supposed to be, like, the big bad that carried through that season, but it just didn't work out with that kid, because he was... too big now.
Yeah, for a second, because I noticed a huge difference in him. And I was like, that's the same kid, right? I mean, it looks like him, but it's mm-hmm. him, right?
Yeah. It was a missed opportunity. It could have been, little kid vampire, creepy, right?
Totally creepy.
Not so much. Maybe a little in the first season.
I would say he was creepier in the first season than the second, yes.
Yeah. I was really glad when Spike killed him again. That wasn't fun. Okay, and then Inca Mommy Girl and Reptile Boy. And then the line.
This isn't some fairy tale. When I kiss you, you don't wake up from a deep sleep and live happily ever after.
No. When you kiss me, I want to die.
Which... it's something Buffy says to Angel. It is just the worst. I don't know. Maybe I'm not a teenage girl, because I'm not.
Right.
But it's just over the top awful.
That's terrible.
It's the worst. Hate that line so bad it made my top five dislikes.
Wow.
I think it's in Halloween. I'm not positive.
That is a terrible line.
Yep. So I have two little general Buffy fun facts, which I probably should have done at the very beginning, that I'll write these down and when I hear them and let you know as we go along. But so my two just general Buffy fun facts that you may not know is the term Big Bad was coined on Buffy. It's become vernacular about all shows that might have something like a Big Bad every season. But it was started as dialogue on the show.
Oh, okay.
So that's where that term came from. It's actually...
I don't know if I've really ever heard that term before.
Oh, really? They always use it for, like, Dexter. The big bad of Dexter every season.
Oh. Huh. I don't know if I've noticed. Okay.
It has been something that's bled into all genre shows. You just call whatever... that season's Big Bad is the Big Bad, and that started with Buffy.
Maybe I have heard it. Okay.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you say it. I think it's so familiar to you, you just haven't noticed.
Probably.
And another fact, and honestly, I've heard this a few different times, and I tried to Google it, and I couldn't find it, so I need some help here with Buffy Buffs. I like that term. I've never heard it before.
The Buffy Buffs.
So I heard, and I don't know if it's both of them or one of them, but Carlton Cuse and or Damon Lindelof asked all of the writers of Lost to watch the entire series of Buffy as part of being hired and starting to write for Lost. Cause,
really?
I don't know. I don't know if it was one or both of them was a huge fan and wanted all the writers to be familiar with Buffy.
Do you see similarities between the two shows that would...
Maybe to the fact, and you know, Lost kind of changed TV a little bit, but kind of in the fact that it was an interesting series that carried over through seasons that told a story. I don't know. I haven't thought about it much. I just know that they were fans and they wanted the writers to be familiar with the writing style and the...
Interesting.
Off the top of my head, no. I don't... You know, there's not like similar storylines or anything.
Right. Or similar characters. I mean, is it... it seems like, say, like, Sawyer and Hurley maybe had some similar little quippy remarks or something that...
Well, yeah, there's a lot of fun pop culture in, I would say, like, Spike would be the Sawyer.
Mm-hmm. And maybe Hurley the Xander?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Kind of the comic relief?
Yeah, huh. I'm not sure. And like I said, I tried to Google it to get more info, and I couldn't find it. So if anyone out there can help me out with this.
A dream that you had. I had a
feel
dream
like a
that...
nice idiot there, if it is.
you had a dream that Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof and Joss Whedon were all together. You're like, nerd! interesting.
I just thought you'd find those two facts interesting, but you don't remember Big Bad. But I know you've used it. I feel like it's so familiar to you that you just...
I just don't realize that it's...
Right.
That it's a thing. No, the Carlton Cuse thing, that's very interesting to me, because I'd be interested to find out if that actually did happen, and I'd want to know why, like what...
Well, it's something that you know early enough on that you can maybe draw your own conclusions, if it's real.
Right. Huh.
Wasn't a dream I had.
Cool.
Thank you for introducing that concept.
So right on. So what's my next assignment?
Your next assignment is The Dark Age through Bad Eggs. You're going Lie to Me through Bad Eggs. Oh, I love Lie to Me. So you're going to be watching Lie to Me, The Dark Age, What's My Line, Part 1 and 2, Ted, which we've mentioned, and Bad Eggs.
The only thing I know about Ted is that it's not Ted Baxter.
That's right.
And that it's John Ritter.
It's John Ritter.
Okay, so I watched Lie to Me through Bad Eggs. So Bad Eggs is where I stopped.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, Bad Eggs is not my favorite. But I'm looking. Oh, nope. I can't say that. I was going to say it's the last bad episode in this season, but it's not.
So Bad Eggs. All right.
But again, like all other ones, Bad Eggs has some redeeming qualities.
I just hope they mean that it's like people are bad eggs and it's not like some pregnancy bad eggs. Like... Buffy pregnancy scare with Vampire Boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, great. All right. Right on. So.
Oh, how about any predictions you have?
That in Bad Eggs, Buffy has a pregnancy square.
With Angel, like, getting pregnant by a vampire has bad consequences?
Yes.
Okay.
I am going to predict that Oz and Willow finally meet, and Willow gets over her obsession of Xander. Well, I guess it's not really an obsession. She just has a crush on him.
She likes him, yeah.
Yeah, I want her to get over her crush with Xander because they make a really good best friend couple. I think
that was one of my things I was going to ask. Where do you see Willow and Xander going?
I would like to see him remain as like best friends or kind of have a brother or sister relationship and not try out the romantic thing. I hope it doesn't go there. I hope Oz.
Think it does or not? You don't or you do?
I think it probably will.
Okay.
I think they'll probably be not a long relationship, but I don't know. Okay, here's my prediction that Oz and Willow finally meet. He finds out who she is. And they go on some dates or whatever. And then that makes Xander jealous. And he realizes that he does like Willow. There's my prediction. And I predict that Buffy and Angel will continue to annoy me. And
I predict the same thing.
And I'm going to predict, I don't know if it's going to happen in this specific assignment, but I'm going to put a overall prediction that Buffy's mom finds out she's a Slayer. Yeah.
Do you think she finds out by observing something or Buffy tells her?
I'm going to say that I think maybe someone earlier in Buffy's family, like maybe a grandma or a great grandma or something, was a Slayer. And that Buffy's mom is going to figure it out on her own because she heard stories about this Slayer and like sees similarities in Buffy.
Oh, okay. So you predict that Joyce already knows something about Slayers. She just doesn't know Buffy is one.
Right. But then she starts recognizing because she grew up hearing stories like about grandma or something and starts going, oh, wait, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my prediction, that she figures it out on her own, not by seeing Buffy do something or anything specific.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any Spike Drusilla thoughts?
No, I have no idea what's up with those two. They're completely open book to me, and I really can't wait to learn more, especially about Drusilla and her dolls. That's fascinating to me.
And you've gathered she's kind of weak.
Yes.
Something's wrong with her.
Yes. I was going to ask you about that. So she doesn't seem as hungry. So does she have like an illness or something?
Yeah.
He has to kind of encourage her to eat.
He kind of worries about her and she seems weak. He kind of puts her to bed and she just kind of wanders in and.
Well, and he's the one that, like, gets Sheila for her and ties Sheila up in her room. And that's when he says that he's going to go get chanty with the fellas. is to leave her alone to, like, feed off. So she either, is there something tainted? Did she get tainted somehow? Or is it a guilt thing?
Well, she did she say doesn't seem that like she misses Prague, and he says, you nearly died in Prague. I think that's the biggest all we kind of hear.
That's right. So Prague.
It's like Sturgis in Orem.
I know. What's with all the bikers in Orem?
I don't know.
So she would have been like a vampire before Germany invaded. Well, that was Poland. That was world. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what Prague has to do with it. Or am I missing something?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to say maybe Drusilla's kind of weird. I don't know. I was going to say guilt, but she doesn't seem... She seems weirder than that. She doesn't seem to have guilt. I don't know. I don't know what's up with her. She's weird. She's an odd duck. Mm. And I'm looking forward to finding out more about her. And I hope I do in these next episodes that you give me.
That's it, I think.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm ready to move on. I'm excited to move on from those first groupings.
Yeah, yeah. I'm ready too. So I will watch these and let you know.
Well, I am feeling like you're liking the show as much as I would want you to at this point.
I am, yes. As a whole, I am liking it. So
good.
And I'll try not to be too nitpicky or I don't know. I'm still keeping an open mind. Things that are bugging me now, I'm willing to be turned around on. I'm not going to be stubborn.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, I've told you this before, but I feel like you will get into the rhythm and the humor of this show more soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
To where it's hard to remember what it was like watching it for the first time. Because now, you know, I get it and I love it.
Well, all right then.
All right, that's it. Yeah. We'll see everybody next time. It depends on Sue how long it takes her to watch these, when we'll be back.
I'm not going to drag it out. So if any of you Buffy fans want to send us any feedback or anything, you can send it to yesmotherpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and we were discussing this before. I'm thinking of maybe doing a Facebook page just for the Buffy watch.
Mm-hmm.
So people that aren't doing Bates Motel that might be watching just for Buffy might want to get on this. And I'm thinking of having it one where Sue is not included. So
yes.
I can get a little advice and maybe some back and forth that she doesn't see.
Right. I won't join the group. And that way you guys can like maybe suggest to Emily, like maybe this would be a good grouping or have her watch these episodes to get, you know, because it's like Emily said, she's kind of a new fan herself. And
I haven't even listened to that many podcasts about it. I've listened to a few, but and I don't know anyone in real life that watches it.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
I'm doing my best. And, I can guide my sister through a show I like, but I may not be the most knowledgeable person you've heard of about the show.
Right, exactly.
Keep that in mind.
Yes, keep that in mind. Give Emily some encouragement, some advice, some support. And yeah, I hope any Buffy fans, I hope you continue to listen and give us some feedback.
Yeah, we'll set you up in a room at the Hellmath Hotel.
That's right. And yeah, I'm excited about this little journey. I think it's a fun thing that we're doing.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited too. I'm really excited for you to watch Buffy so I can talk to you about it.
That's yes. So
all
I guess
right.
We don't really have a sign off like we do for the Bates Motel one on this one, huh?
But these people can chill their own ass also.
Yeah. So until next time, chill your own ass.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Tonight is our, first installment of Sue versus... No, good grief.
Miss Edith speaks out of turn. She's a bad example.